you please translate it or explain it, the verses of the Quran that بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ when he's written to the Prophet Jesus Christ. That's my last question. Thank you very much.
Now, it's a question which is relating to the life or demise of Jesus Christ. We as Ahmadis believe that Jesus Christ was a true prophet of God with an added status of a Messiah. So that was his distinction. No more. He was a human being. He was not a little son of God. As such, he could not have been, as he could not have died and then got revived and risen to heaven. We have reasons for that. But I'm just telling them the background of this. The other Muslims, the Orthodox Muslims, believe that Jesus Christ was prophet of God, all right, he was human, okay, but it is wrong to believe that he was even attemptedly crucified. What happened to him, according to the orthodoxy, was that somebody of the Jews, who was a bitter enemy of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was captured by angels sent with a mission by God, and completely transformed in their features, so that, in his features, so that he, that Jew, resembled Christ, you know, so completely and perfectly, that even his disciples could not know whether it was Christ they were speaking to, or a Jewish person. And they crucified that Jew, not Jesus Christ. A very strange story, but this is exactly what the official story of the rest of the Muslim sects is. Then they go on adding what happened then. They said they, when they arrested Jesus Christ and imprisoned him in a room, kept him in a room before the day of crucifixion, the angels, again descending from the heaven, opened the roof, took away the Jesus Christ, real one, and put in his stead that fake person whom they had already prepared for this occasion. So now the trickery was complete. And both, not only the Romans and the Jews, but also the very disciples of Jesus Christ were cheated completely. And what happened next, they don't care. The man who was crucified, they say, and died upon the cross was not Jesus. You know why this, all this rigmarole? Because of the verse which you are mentioning. Without going deeper into the verse and trying to understand the message, they have built a story which has no footing, no common sense. It cannot be related to a sane God. So, the problem why this story was invented by the medieval Muslims, not by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he does not mention it even remotely. It is a medieval product based on a misunderstanding of a verse of the Quran, which says, وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ وَقَالِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا طَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِنْهُ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. This verse means that Jews were cursed by God for some crimes. The crimes are being enumerated. Among them is that they rejected Jesus Christ, who was a true messenger of God. The second is that they blamed his mother for unchastity, while she was a chaste woman. And the birth of Jesus Christ was miraculous, but no other man had touched her. So that was their second crime. And the third is, they claimed they had murdered Jesus. وَقَالَ هِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ. We have murdered Jesus who claimed to be a prophet of God. You know, this crime should be understood, as the Holy Quran is enumerating it, it should be understood in its application to the case of Jesus Christ. A prophet has a beginning and an end. If both the beginning and the end are proved to be accursed, then how could a man be a prophet of God? This was the conspiracy of the Jews against Jesus Christ. The conspiracy ran as a man who has illegitimate birth, whose mother is not chaste, and he claims to be a prophet. And the one who is hanged upon the tree is crucified and dies upon the cross. Such a man, according to the Old Testament, had to be a false prophet, false claimant. He was not from God while he claimed to be from God. So this was a very heinous plot against Jesus Christ that will prove, the Jews, I mean, of that period, they contrived this. They said, we'll prove his beginning is false, his end is false, and such a man claims to be a man from God. This is the crime which the Holy Quran highlights. And then says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. They failed to murder him, and they failed to crucify him. Now, the word crucify is here misunderstood. Crucifixion is an attempt to murder. Like somebody is attacked by a sword or by pistol fire or something, an attempt to murder is not denied. The result is denied. If somebody was attemptedly hanged and was saved and died many, many years after a natural death, the historian will never say he was hanged to death. If a man was attemptedly murdered but was saved, like Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Jang-e-Uhud, in the Battle of Uhud, would a historian call him murdered because an attempt was made? So what the Holy Quran is denying is the attempt to kill him through other means of murder or through crucifixion. They totally failed in this. What happened then? Here, the Holy Quran goes on explaining further. It says, وَمَا قَتَلُهُ وَمَا صَلَبُهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. The word شُبِّهَ means doubt, obscurity. So the Holy Quran says, they neither killed him by any other weapon or through crucifixion, but they were left in a state of doubt and confusion. وَلَاكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ وَمَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. They have no positive knowledge of what happened to him. إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. They are only following conjecture that this might have happened. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. What's the next beginning? No. وَمَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. No. Before that, there is one. شَكِّ. مِنْ شَكِّ مِنْ هُ. شَكِّ مِنْ هُ. The full verse, I had recited full before, and suddenly it has gone green out of my mind. It will come to me. وَمَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ وَمَا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِنْهُ. And those who are in doubt about what happened are not sure of what happened. Malahum means illattibazvan. They are following the conjecture that I only said. So it is the word shak, shubha, and zan. Three words, Arabic words, are used to indicate the total confusion of the people who are debating the issue of what may have happened to Jesus Christ. Then the end product is not vama salabu yafina. The end product is vama kataluhu yafina. They most certainly failed to murder him. Then comes the final part of the verse which you raised. That is, bal rafa'ahu Allahu ilayhi. While what happened was, God raised him to himself. Now the question is, how God raises people with the word rafa used about them. The Holy Quran mentions the word rafa in relation to God, and wherever it is mentioned, it means raising of status, not of body. Rafi'u darajat, he raises the status of people. Then, in another verse, the Holy Quran speaks of Balambahu and says, Walau, if we had so wanted, we could have raised him. But he decided to sink into the earth. It is not literal at all. The person never dug himself a hole and disappeared into the earth. What it meant was he became a materialist. We wanted to raise his status. So the word rafa in the Holy Quran is used to raise the status. In every prayer, a Muslim prays to God between two sajdas. And during that prayer he says, Warfani, O my Lord, raise me. Does it mean that one prostration is enough? Now lift me heaven bodily to the heaven? Obviously not. What he means is, raise my status. Then the Holy Prophet uses the same word regarding the mu'min, the believers, and says that Allah descends a chain to lift the people who prostrate to him, who do tawada. Iza tawada al-abdu. Rafa'ahu Allahu ilayhi. Whenever a man becomes humble, this is the meaning, and becomes modest, Allah raises him to heaven bound in chains. Now, does it really happen? Has any Muslim in the world ever disappeared from the earth and ascended to heaven bound in chains? The word tawazu is the key to the understanding of this. It means anyone who is humble, Allah raises his status. So the question there was that of the status of Jesus Christ. The Jews wanted to prove him to be accursed. An accursed person is remote from God, removed away from God. And the one who is there is Rafa, is the one who Rafa has taken place, who has been raised in status. And again, the word is used ilahi, not ilasamai. Allah doesn't say, bal rafa'ahu Allahu ila samai, which means, if God had said it, then it would have meant, God raised him to the heavens, to the sky. He says, ilahi, to himself. Now, anyone who is told to be raised by God to himself cannot move from the place he occupies. Because God is everywhere. Is God not here? Which place is empty of God? Allah Nuru Samavadu Wala. Then Anamatamalu Samavajullah. Allah is the light of heaven and earth, whichever way you turn, there is God. So was not God there where Jesus was crucified? Was he not there? So when he was there, why was he to leave that place and move in other direction? That would be moving away from God, who was already there. Then God says, I am closer to you than your jugular vein, your lifeline. So God is everywhere, in a different dimension, but everywhere. So moving towards God does not mean the bodily movement at all. It's impossible. The bodily movement to a spiritual existence is unthinkable, impossible. So the words chosen by God in the Quran are so clear that to a genuine investigator they leave no shadow of doubt as to what happened. What happened can be made further clear through a reference to the history of crucifixion. We are told that the Jews were really in doubt about his death. They went to Pilate, complaining against Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and claiming that he was a very cunning man. He might not have died. He might have escaped death. Unless we are provided with the body, we will not believe. Is that not what happened? It is recorded by the New Testament. So this is exactly what the Holy Quran says. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ They had no sure knowledge of what happened. إِنَّهُمْ إِلَّا التَّبَعْضًا They are only following conjecture. This might have happened, this might not have happened. So that is the story of Jesus Christ, and we believe that he was redeemed from dying upon cross. And thereby we believe that we are being more liable to him than those Christians who believe that he gave up his ghost on the cross. Because we believe, according to his own prophecies, according to what he said and did before and during the cross, crucifixion, there is no way other than believing that he had been redeemed as life. He was taken down in a state of coma. When his side was pierced, blood and water gushed out, not flowed passively. When he was kept in sepulchre, he was treated. His wounds were, ointment was applied on his wounds, which was previously prepared by the 12 apostles. That's called the ointment of apostles. Then he moves away from the place of crucifixion under the cover of night, never during the daylight. He furthers himself, distances himself from the point of crucifixion at night and refuses to enter the city when it is suggested to him. When his disciples are surprised by his presence and think he is a ghost, he corrects them. No, I am not the ghost. I am not a ghost. I am the same person. Come and touch my wounds. Then to further reassure them, he asks what they were eating. And when they say bread and fish, he said, please give me some. And he partakes of that. Is that the story of a man revived from the dead, or a man who is retrieved from death, from the jaws of death? We believe it is the story of a person who, according to the promise of God, was retrieved from the jaws of death. Exactly like Jonah, of whom he himself had spoken earlier. He said, you will not be given any signs, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. What was the sign? Was he dead in the fish and then revived? Certainly not. He remained there under conditions which spelled death. Apparently there was no rescue from there. But with special decree of God, he was not permitted to die. In a state of coma, he was thrown out and then revived and then migrated from that area. So this is what we believe happened to Jesus Christ. And again, we recall that before it is said he gave up the ghost, he cried in anguish, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. Oh my God, oh my God. Why have you abandoned me? Or have you abandoned me? We believe it is impossible for God to abandon his dear, any dear one. Not to mention a prophet of his status. That shows that the previous night when he was praying, that this bitter cup should be taken away from him, his prayer must have been heard. He must have received promise from God that you will be saved. And when he saw almost death approaching, this was a cry of anguish, more a prayer than a protest. Oh God, come to myself, my help, you have promised me. No, that is the meaning of Eli Eli lema sabachthani. So we believe he must have been saved, and he was. Again we recall the fact that he was not sent to only two tribes who lived in around Palestine, but he was also sent to the 10 tribes of Israel who occupied Judea about a few hundred years ago and were expelled from there by the invasion of a king from Babel or somewhere. And that is why he said he would go to the lost sheep of Israel. Who were the lost sheep? Of course, those tribes who had been earlier expelled from the mainland of the Jews. And his ministry could not have been completed until he had followed them and traced them and delivered his ministry to them as well. So we believe the story is so logical to us. There is no confusion, no contradiction. We believe that that is where he went, where earlier the tribes of Israel had gone. Now, most certainly, no Christian would tell me that they had ascended to heaven, the 10 tribes of Israel. Would not have been completed until he had followed them and traced them and delivered his ministry to them as well. So we believe the story is so logical to us. There is no confusion, no contradiction. We believe that that is where he went, where earlier the tribes of Israel had gone. Now, most certainly, no Christian would tell me that they had ascended to heaven, the 10 tribes of Israel. They migrated from Judea, but to this land, they never migrated to heaven. So if they had not migrated to heaven, why should have Jesus Christ ascended to heaven while he had yet to fulfill that mission? So he must have chased them, he must have gone to them, and this is how we believe he did. He went through Afghanistan to Kashmir. Both the people of Afghanistan and Kashmir are Israeli people in origin. They are completely different in their features, in their complexion, in their nomenclature, in their tribal system, in their way of life from the people of the subcontinent. Look at a Pathan and look at a Hindu from Bengal or anywhere else, from Madras or any other part of India. It's so different. And their nomenclature. They still are called Banu Israel and Banu Isa and Banu Musa. And all the names found in the Old Testament are living experience with them today, both in Kashmir and Afghanistan. So we believe he went there, he delivered his ministry, was accepted. And so totally in Kashmir, there was the total population of Kashmir followed him and accepted him. Then what? Why were they not Christians? why there is no trace of Christianity in Kashmir? The obvious reason is that Jesus Christ was also prophesied by Buddha 500 years earlier. He had promised that a foreigner Buddha would come to them 500 years after his death. And Jesus arrived exactly 500 years after Buddha in Kashmir. And when they accepted him, his religion was so similar to that of the Buddhist philosophy of love and non-violence that he was taken as a Buddha and named a Buddha. This is why the stories of virgin birth have penetrated into Buddhism. We believe they were not native stories. They were carried by Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And it was this Buddha, Jesus, who is referred to having born out of a virgin, not the previous Buddha. So in Nepal, there are still tablets on which the visits of Jesus are mentioned. And also in Hindu Puranas, there is reference. So we are not just talking through our noses, we are talking exactly based on facts of history. Jesus Christ is mentioned in one of the Puranas, that is Hindu annals, of the time of Raja Shalbahan. Raja Shalbahan is a contemporary of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. This is a matter of history, nobody has ever denied it. And in the Puranas, that is the annals of that Raja, it is mentioned then that once he was out on a hunting expedition when he discovered a noble person, foreigner, noble looking man coming along with some of his followers in the valley of Kashmir. He approached them and asked him, this leader, who he was. The answer written in Sanskrit is still there for anybody to see. He said, I am Masih. Now Masih and Masih are the same word, that is Messiah. And the word Sheen is always pronounced Sheen by the Kashmiris. And the Pandas particularly, Hindus. They can't pronounce Sheen, they will always turn it to Sheen. So what he said was, I am Masih. Was there another Messiah other than Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, in the world at that time? He was the only one. And then when he was asked, what is the name, why have you come to our country? He said, I have migrated from my country because I was sent by God with a message. I was rejected and my people were about to kill me. When God, as he had promised me, saved me from their clutches, and made me to migrate from that country and come to this. Then Raja asked him, what was the name of his religion? The answer was love. If you can't see Christianity written all over there, I can't see what else can you read. It was a Masih in migration who was attempted to be murdered, whose message was love. And that is the Masih who was accepted by the Buddhists of that area, and he was called a Buddha. Now in the Punjab, Ahmadiyyat came to be born, and we called Hazrat Masih Maud, as Masih Maud, the founder of the community. So later on, if some people forget about his origin, they say he was a Messiah, so we will be called Masihis, as already some mullahs call it Masihis. So that is how I believe the identity of Jesus Christ got mixed up with that of the promised Buddha. And from then on there is no confusion. In Afghanistan, however, there was no Buddhism at that time. So there he was remembered as a Masih, not as a Buddha. And the present day records prove it to be like that. So again, I am not talking of fiction, I am talking of realities. A few years ago, about 2 decades ago, a mission was sent by the University of Oxford to investigate the Sufi tribes of Herat, a province of Afghanistan, where there were some old traditional Sufi tribes of a long, long standing. So Oxford University suddenly became interested in that, and they sent a mission there. The person in charge who was made responsible to make research, he returned and wrote a book which is entitled Among the Dervishes, published from the Oxford University Press. No Ahmadis involved. He had never heard of an Ahmadi before in his life. There, suddenly, discussing the Dervishes, he says that I found there a strange tribe of Dervishes who styled themselves Christian Muslims. I was astounded. I said, either Christian or Muslims, what is this, strange combination of Christianity and Islam together? So he said, I inquired and I found out that it was a tribe whose name was Musa's tribe, that is Moses' tribe. I inquired about the leader and I was told his leader's name was Abba Yahya. Rabbi is a Jewish title, of course, as you know well. So he said, I managed to meet him ultimately and inquired from him why this strange nomenclature of Christian Muslims. The answer was, because we were turned to Christianity when Jesus Christ was redeemed from cross, and on way to Kashmir, he passed through our tribes, delivered the message, we accepted him, and he also left a testament with us, which does not mention him to be a little son of God. The Christianity you know is the Christianity distorted out of 2,000 years of your history. But what he left as scrolls and are still preserved with us, this author says, I have seen those scrolls. And in the old Hebrew language, the message of Jesus Christ is all written over there. And he says, we believed in him, and because he taught us unity of God, to worship God and none else. When later on Islam came, it was so similar that we also accepted Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But we were so indebted to Jesus Christ for showing us light that we decided to always call us Christian Muslims, not just Muslims alone. Now, anybody can read that book today. It has absolutely no relationship with any of your view, thought, or, and their books were totally illegible, unknown to them, to the scholar. How would it happen? So the point which I'm trying to prove is that when I say in Kashmir his identity was lost, there is every reason to believe that. In Afghanistan, there was no reason to believe his identity would be mixed up with others, and it has not been mixed up. It's clearly Jesus Christ. That he is mentioned that we call him Jesus of Nazareth and Kashmir. And he asked, why Jesus of Nazareth and Kashmir? He said, simply because he was born in Nazareth and died in Kashmir. This is exactly the Ahmadiyya claim, that he died in Srinagar and his tomb is still there. Anybody can go and see and find out from the local people the stories or the history which goes about it. So this is the full story of, woven round that verse. One version is that of the Muslims, other than Ahmadiyya. If you consider that logical enough, sensible enough, you can accept it. The other is ours. So rational, so real, so true to the facts of history. It's up to you to receive, believe or not to believe. Thank you.